when it comes to obedience to God, I sometimes struggle with it. And I was asking the Lord about this. Why isn't it easy to obey? And I think the Lord just came and showed me something about the fear of the Lord. When we really fear the Lord, it is a lot easier to obey. It's not dependent on circumstances. That fear of the Lord becomes a driving force. I'm going to read something for us from Psalm 90. The stand is quite high.
Really?
Yeah, it's almost like I'm hiding behind it. Okay, if you go in your Bible, thanks, yours. Psalm 19. Yeah, that's much better. Thank you. It's pretty long, means. Peter. You guys know Psalm 19? There's a nice movie on YouTube. If you guys are watching movies, playing the flute, and it's based on Psalm 19. It's a beautiful one. For coaches, mentors, that's a lovely movie to watch. Let me read as well. Daniel is finding that sermon. Let me read us Psalm 19. I'm going to read for us from verse 6. From verse 7. This is like poetry. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And let's finish with verse 11. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Pray for us. Father, what a privilege to just be here in this place this morning. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you gave us your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are so welcome here with us and in us and over us. You inspired this word, and you are the one that breathed it into our hearts afresh. You make it alive in us so that we can live from it, that we can be alive and find sustenance in it. So thank you, Lord, for breaking your word to us this morning. Lord Jesus, it's as if you are standing over here with us and teaching us. So thank you that you send us the Holy Spirit. It is better for us, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Okay, so the title this morning is the fear of the Lord and obedience. I wanted to make it versus obedience, but it's not versus or versus disobedience, but it's not versus, it's an and. The fear of the Lord is a big subject, and obedience is one thing that flows from it. So our scripture this morning is going to be Acts 21 verse 1 to 15. So we're carrying on with the book of Acts. We've been in the book of Acts for a while. I think we're still going to be there in that book for a while. Never when I started preaching on the book of Acts, I thought it's going to be so rich. And it's been a rich journey so far, and it's still very rich. There's so much in this church, as the new church, as it was developing across the historic Europe, that we can learn from. So Acts 21 verse 1. Now it came to pass that when we had departed from them, so the previous time we talked in Acts 20, we talked about Miletus. There was a pastor's gathering. I like the word elder more, or even steward. It's all the same word in Greek. What is the word? Presbyteros is the Greek word. Elder, pastor, bishop, steward. It's all the same word. We maybe in the modern church used a bit differently, like a bishop will be like a senior pastor, he's over a few pastors. But in the context of the New Testament, in Acts, an elder was normally left when a church was planted. Paul left elders there to look after the church. So all these elders came together from Ephesus, about 200 elders. They came together and Paul teach them. He was teaching them at Miletus and encouraging them before he left for Jerusalem. And you guys know why he's going to Jerusalem? It's because the church in Jerusalem is poor. The rich Jews, the Hellenistic Jews, because of persecution, have left Jerusalem and has gone back to Cyprus and Alexandria and all the places, even Rome, as far as Rome. So Paul didn't plant a church at Rome. There was a church already when Paul arrived at Rome, and it's from this persecution or dispersion that happened from Jerusalem after Stephen was martyred. So we were at Miletus last time. He was teaching these 200 elders, just in one city. They're all from Ephesus. So you have about 200 home churches in Ephesus at the time. They didn't have big buildings like we have churches nowadays. It was more like this. It was home churches, Donkey Daniel. And so all these elders he called. The ship couldn't land at Ephesus because of the trade winds. So he passed Ephesus around to Miletus, and he called them all there for the last time, and he encouraged them. And he encouraged them. One of the things he encouraged them was against wolves. Watch out for wolves that will come amongst you, and it will tear up the flock, and they will make disciples after themselves. And then we fast track forward to Revelation 2, where we can see that they actually listened. And Jesus, when he spoke to them, the church of Ephesus in Revelation 2, he said, I can see that you are doing good works, that you are following the teaching. And he said, but except just one thing, you have left your first love. But those 200 elders, we'll be guessing it was 200 churches. Those 200 elders, they went back and they were careful against false apostles and false doctrines. So they obeyed it, and we can see it from Revelation 2. Okay, but that was last time. Let's go forward. So the title I said to you, the fear of the Lord and obedience. Just a little bit. As we're going to read now, we're going to cover quite a few cities. Let me see if I can that map is very very small, but we were last at Ephesus over there. There's Miletus. See, the trade winds took him. He was up here at Troas, went all the way down there with the trade winds past Ephesus, and he landed at Miletus. Now he's on his way. But we're going to hear these names now. That sound looks like Koldo, Rhodes, and what is that, Patara? And then they're going to go south of this island. You see this arrow showing in the opposite direction. That's when he went to Rome. But with the trade winds, this time they went south of Cyprus, and they landed here at Caesarea at Tyre. This is Phoenicia and Syria. You'll see that name as well as here on the right hand side. Syria is where Damascus is. So as we read now, you're going to see those names. I just want to tilt this a little bit. Awesome. Okay, let's mark the place.
Lucy.
Okay, let's go. Now it came to pass that when we had departed from them and set sail, running a straight course, we came to Kos, there's the first name, the following day to Rhodes, and from there to Patara. And finding a ship sailing over to Phoenicia, we went aboard and set sail. When we had sighted Cyprus, we passed it on the left, waited, sailed to Syria, and landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unload a cargo. And finding disciples, we stayed there 7 days. They told Paul through the Spirit not to go up to Jerusalem. That's where I got stuck, at those few words. And that's the heading, the title of the sermon. The fear of the Lord and obedience. And I even want to mix into that the gifts of God. So we have various gifts, but just a little bit, we'll go into it, a little bit more detail just now. 1 Corinthians 12, it mentions gifts from Jesus, gifts from the Holy Spirit, gifts from the Father. So we're going to touch a little bit on the gifts of Jesus and just about only three gifts of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because we see it in this portion of Scripture. And we can get confused between, like, for example, just the vocal gifts, like prophecy, the gift of the word of knowledge, the gift of the word of wisdom. It's easy to get confused between those three. So I just want to teach a little bit on that. But let's start. We have read that psalm about the fear of the Lord. So he says the fear of the Lord is clean. Why would he say something like that? I wrote some notes here about the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is Yira, the Hebrew word. It comes from the root Yara. So I'm not a Greek scholar, but I've got these nice commentaries that got these Greek words. It means to fear, to venerate, often in the context of worship to God. So what we were doing this morning is a fear of the Lord that is underlying our worship, to worship Him as the only one to be worshipped. Not ourselves, not our jobs, not our family, but only God. Clean meat, clean in Hebrew is Tahora, it's from Tahor, it's the root, to be pure, to be clean, like purified silver. The object is to purge away all defilement. It's like a fire, to make a spotless character. It says in Psalm 19, it's enduring forever. So it's standing up perpetually, forever. The fear that prevents us from offending God. And this is key. That causes us to reverence Him. It is the beginning, as it is the safe God of wisdom. Remember in Proverbs, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Must be carried all through our life. None of us, not one of our souls, is safe for a moment without it. It prevents departure from God and keeps it clean. It keeps that clean what God has purified. So this is its use. That's what I got from one of the commentaries. It's very good. So the gifts of Jesus, let's move a little bit onto that. We're going to come back to Acts 21. So this is the gifts of Jesus. So, and he is Jesus. It's not the Holy Spirit, it's not the Father, it's Jesus. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith. Can you see this? There's an ongoing process. This is not something that has passed away in the book of Acts. There's an ongoing process there. They've got a job to do until Jesus comes, until we all attain to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. When I speak a little bit about the titles that we use, we're going to see in this scripture in Acts 21, nowhere is it mentioned Prophet Agabus or Evangelist Philip. We like to take this is what we call the fivefold ministry. We like to take it and make it a title. There's not a title there. The only title I see is head, which is Jesus Christ. The others are all functional. It's gifts that Jesus is giving to the body, but it's not titles that he's giving. These are actually the lowest in the body of Christ. The apostles, prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers. Why do I say they're the lowest? Because they need to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. I once went into a church. I don't want to call it a name, give it a name, but it was very positive. It's in Bremeria, so many of you will know what church it is. I stayed in Bremeria for a while, and the head pastor's name, he had like a pyramid that was upside down, and the head pastor's name was way down. You look at the wall against the floor, and then his elders going up like that. That's this principle, where the one that we think is the highest is actually the lowest. That's what Jesus came and he showed this principle to his disciples. He says, let me wash your feet. Peter said, no, I want you to wash my feet. He says, if you want to be part of me, you need to allow me to wash your feet. So it's part of the servanthood. Jesus is a servant king. Just want to look if there's something more I want to say on this. But you guys get the idea that Jesus is the head. If we want to give a title, it is that Jesus is the head of the body. And these guys, the gifts that Jesus gives to the body, that is functions. He's giving these gifts to the body and they've got a function to perform. You can't call me Pastor Marius, because I'm not that. We don't give titles to people. It's a function. Pastoring, shepherding, that's a function. It's not a title. We get stuck with titles. It's like we think we've reached a destination. And a title is not a destination. So you see that the timeline here is until Jesus comes. So these offices will function until Jesus comes. Then those offices won't be there anymore. The next thing we can look at is the gifts of the Holy Spirit. After we've looked at the gifts, of Jesus, and now we're going to look at the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we're going to go back to Acts 21, and I'm going to show you what is the context there. So 1 Corinthians 12 verse 1. See how important is the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. Now there are varieties of gifts, verse 4, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. So he's distinguishing here between the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of Jesus. The next verse, I didn't put it in here, verse 6, talks about the gifts of the Father. That's Romans 12, verse 6 to 8, but we're not going to do that today. So 1 Corinthians 12 verse 8 to 11. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. King James Version says the gift of the word of wisdom. To another the utterance of knowledge. There again the King James Version says the gift of the word of knowledge. According to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing. Gifts, multiple gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. We're going to talk about that a little bit. To another the ability to distinguish between spirits, or discerning of spirits is another translation. To another various kinds of tongues. To another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. This is not an exhaustive list of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There can be more. Intercession can be one, that the Lord come and give you the Holy Spirit. Laying on hands can be another one, that the Holy Spirit can come and give to you. So this is not, these nine gifts are not exhaustive. Okay, let's go back to Acts, and we see where these words, where can we see them in Acts 21? Because that is our key passage. So if I'm ready, not okay, let's go a little bit. We were at this verse. On the next day we departed and came to Caesarea. Did we read this?
No.
Okay, we were here. And through the Spirit they were telling Paul not to go on to Jerusalem. Let's just discuss that. So even in the previous chapters we saw that the Holy Spirit were telling Paul that what is lying in your future is persecution. You're going to be imprisoned at Jerusalem. You're going to go to Rome. Now picture this. The disciples hear this word from the Holy Spirit saying this is going to happen to Paul. What is the natural response?
Don't go.
Do not go. That's what they said to him. And you'll see carrying on that they actually, it's almost like they started crying and manipulating him through emotions not to go to Jerusalem. And that is the tension about hearing the word of the Lord and then obeying. We can receive a word. So they were getting a word, it's about Jerusalem, that he's going to go to Jerusalem. It's a directive word. When a word is directive, you're going to go to that city. That is a word of, we call it a word of wisdom. If you, to use an example, if you are buying a house and you don't know all the legal jumbo mumbo that goes into that contract, you phone your lawyer and you say, this is what's written in this contract. He will give you a word of wisdom concerning that. Because he's got the body of knowledge, the legal body of knowledge behind him. So he can give you a word of wisdom whether to buy that place or not buy that place based on the contract that you have in front of you. You guys agree with that? So that's in the natural. When it comes to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, it is supernatural. So it's not the normal wisdom of this earth. It's supernatural wisdom that God has. So when he gives a directive through various people, it was disciples, there was a prophet, and there was even, we'll see, Philip had four goals, and they were all functioning in the gift of prophecy. And all of these guys were saying to Paul, this is what's going to happen to you. So it's a directive. You're going to Jerusalem, you're going to Rome. And so always remember about the gift of wisdom, that it gives direction. If you're in a situation where you want to know, like with you now, going from one city to the next city, Lord, what must I do? You need a word of wisdom from the Lord. Or you have to decide between, maybe you need to buy another property, and you've got the money, but you're not sure whether you should do it. You need a word of wisdom from the Lord. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. So these gifts flow naturally through us. We don't have to go and shop for these gifts. It's already freely given. If the Holy Spirit is in you and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, these gifts flow. We just need to always understand what is happening. The prophecy is the easiest one. Somebody come forward, we have seen it last Sunday. They give a word that encourages the church. So the scripture says, I think it's 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3, that a prophecy is to encourage, it's to comfort, it's to exhort. So that's how you test the prophecy. It must always be encouraging. It must be comforting. But now what sometimes happens is that there is a revelation aspect to a prophecy that you hear. How does that work? Because prophecy in itself, the gift of prophecy, doesn't give revelation. The best way for me to picture it, I got it from a guy, Chuck Smith, is when you take two candles. You have two different candles representing two different gifts. And you bring those candles together to make one flame. It's one flame that you see, but it's two different candles. So what can happen is I can prophesy here. Remember, prophecy is only encouragement, comfort, no revelation. But now suddenly the Holy Spirit brings revelation. And He gives a directive, like for example, a word of wisdom. Gives a directive for this church. This is the next thing that you're going to do. What has happened? Another gift was introduced. Same word, same person, two gifts running together. Word of wisdom. Word of knowledge is a similar thing. We have a body of knowledge. We spoke a little bit about it before. But the knowledge that God has is so much. Something simple. Peter, do you know how much hair you have on your head? You don't know, but you've been with yourself for how many years? God knows exactly.
I haven't been that old.
That amount may be different, that total may be different tomorrow, but God knows exactly. God has got all the knowledge. And even though we have a lot of knowledge on something that we've learned over the years, God has got all the knowledge. And that's why supernaturally He can provide us with knowledge. We're going to see it here. When the prophet Agabus came to Paul, I think it was in Tyre, when the ship landed in Tyre, he came and he took his belt and he tied it around his hands. And he said, this is exactly the way you're going to be tied in Jerusalem. How can he possibly know that? He taps into God's knowledge. The Holy Spirit takes from God's heart. He says He takes deep, calls to deep. So the Holy Spirit goes into the depths of the Father and He comes and brings it to our spirit man. The Holy Spirit is that link, and He provides that through a word of knowledge. I hope I explained it to you simple enough, that it's simple enough to understand. It's very easy to get confused between these gifts, but it's actually so simple. Always think about knowledge. Supernatural knowledge will be God, the knowledge that comes from God. It's not knowledge that we have. I can know this book from the beginning to the end. God has still got more knowledge on this book than what I've got. He's got all the knowledge. He's got all the context. I always say that's the reason we can't judge, because we don't have all the context. Only Jesus can judge, because He knows everyone's heart and He's got all the context. So, my first point was the fear of the Lord. We looked at that. The second point was the gifts of Jesus. We looked at that. Third point was the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We had a look at that. Fourth point, do not go to Jerusalem. Even though through the Spirit they were warning him constantly not to go to Jerusalem. Let's read those verses. When our days, Acts 21 verse 5, when our days they were ended, we departed and went on our journey. And they all with wives and children accompanied us until we were outside the city. Kneeling down on the beach, we prayed and said farewell to one another. Then we went on board the ship and they returned home. When we had finished the voyage from Tyre, we arrived at, I don't know how do you say that?
Ptolemais.
And we greeted the brothers and stayed with them for one day.
On the next day we departed and came to Caesarea. We entered the house of Philip the evangelist. You say, you see there what I said. Not evangelist Philip. Then it makes it a title. It's like Mr. Marius. Philip the evangelist. And we've spoken many times from that first church that was created at Antiochia in Syria. When Barnabas was sent there, there was also prophets involved. And I said that God was using the gifts. Barnabas was strong in encouragement. It was a gift that he was using in the body. And then at times he sent prophets. That church started with evangelists from Alexandria and from Cyprus. So it's all gifts to the body. Don't get hung up with it, with a name or the title. It is gifts. It is Jesus' gifts to the body. And we saw how Jesus built that church in Syria, in Antiochia, from nothing. So Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven, I don't know if you understand that, one of the seven, remember when deacons was needed, there was a problem with the widows in the church, and there was the Greek-speaking widows, there was the Hebrew-speaking widows, and the Greek-speaking widows were saying, yeah, but there is we are not being looked after, and the church realized to address this, they have to appoint seven deacons. They went and prayed, and the Holy Spirit gave them this directive. Point seven deacons, let them look after these matters. You spend time with the Word and with the Lord. And so Philip was one of those. He also went to Samaria after the dispersion or the persecution, and he started the first church in Samaria. So he stayed with him. He had four unmarried daughters who prophesied. Isn't that amazing? Daughters who prophesied, and that's the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We see the gifts of Jesus, Philip the evangelist. We see the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Four daughters who prophesied. I wrote here one of the reasons. Let me carry on with that. I think there's another page we need to finish here. Acts 21 verse 10. While we were staying for many days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And coming to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own feet and hands, and said, "Thus says the Holy Spirit, this is how the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns the belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." I'm reminded of that woman at Samaria at that well, when Jesus said to her, "Don't call your husband." She said, "I don't have a husband." And he said, "Yeah, you've had five, and the one you're staying with now is not your husband." You guys recognize that gift? It's a word of knowledge. Gift of the word of knowledge. How can Jesus know that? How can this prophet know this is going to happen in Jerusalem? So it's a word of knowledge that comes from the Father. When we heard this, we and the people there urged him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, "What are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart?" This is what family and friends will do to us when we hear from the Lord. And this is Paul's response. "What are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be imprisoned, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." And that came from Jesus' calling, when he called him on the road to Damascus. Acts 9 verse 15 and 16. Jesus said to him, Jesus said to Ananias, "I want you to go and find Paul in the street straight and minister to him." And Ananias said, "No, I can't do that, Lord." He says, "I want you to go. Behold, he," that is Paul, "is a chosen vessel to me. And I'm going to show you, going to show Paul, how much he must suffer for my name." It's a calling that Jesus gave to Paul. And that is what, that's the reason, that's part of the reason why Paul is saying, "I'm not only ready to be imprisoned, but also to die for the Lord." It was the fear of the Lord that was driving him to obey. Acts 21 verse 14, "And since he would not be persuaded, we ceased and said, let the will of the Lord be done. After these days, we got ready and went up to Jerusalem. And that is what Paul was, a leader of men. The gift, one of the gifts that Jesus gave him was apostleship. Because Paul planted churches all over ancient Europe, modern day Europe. Planted churches, many churches. And that's a gift that the Lord gave him. He was also a prophet, and he was also, I think he was an evangelist as well. But it's all gifts that the Lord gave to him. I write here that Paul always had a choice not to go, but he went. Okay, the last point I want to make is obedience for Paul sprung from his fear of the Lord. Yeah, we looked at that. Why are you weeping to break my heart? I'm ready to be bound. I'm ready even to die at Jerusalem. And why? For the name of the Lord Jesus. His fear, the fear of the Lord, in the beginning that we read, is this clean fear that keeps us clean. It abhors evil. And for him, the evil was to disobey, to rebel against Jesus. He knew what was in front of him. Even though it wasn't the easy road, like, similar to the road that Jesus had to travel to Jerusalem, Paul was fortunate to travel a similar road to Jerusalem through sufferings. So that is my story this morning. I wrote here, next time I want to talk about the divine setup. That's from verse 16 onwards. Did you guys get something out of it? Is the giftings of the Holy Spirit clear to you? Because it's easy to confuse the vocal gifts. So the last time prophecy is only for encouragement, for comfort. If it's word of knowledge, supernatural knowledge, coming from God through the Holy Spirit to us. It's knowledge we can't possibly have. Even though we know everything about the Word even, we can't have that knowledge. It comes only from God. It's supernatural. Wisdom, very simple. You have wisdom of a word of wisdom, like I mentioned, the lawyer can give you a word of wisdom based on that contract. But the word of wisdom we talk about here, which is a gift, is supernatural. That wisdom comes only from God. And that's normally a directive, like go to that city or make that business decision. It's a directive that is given to you. You guys understand that? They can run together at one time. When you have a prophecy and there's a revelation aspect, it can be a word of wisdom or word of knowledge that can coming through. But when you recognize the characteristics, it's easy to distinguish. For us, it's important to know that when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we can look out for these gifts that are going to flow automatically through us. And we need them for life. We need them to live this life. You saw in this passage how critical that it is to have that extra information and that extra wisdom coming through in our lives. And for what purpose? Not for our glory. For the glory of His name. Okay, I pray for us. Father, I thank you for this portion of scripture. I thank you, Lord, just for light, that you give light into our minds, into our hearts, that you make it simple, Lord, because your word is only simple for those who believe. It's like for children, Lord. You say if we can believe like a child, we will enter into heaven. So thank you, Lord, that you break your word open to us, that it's spirit-to-spirit communication, that we can understand from the inside out. In Jesus' name. Amen.